We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on The Score.
LeBron James, I've only seen him play in person once.
Wow. So I've been very fortunate, but also have gone out of my way. I saw him in high school here in this building, the EA Sports Roundball Classic. And, you know, I just remember thinking it was so cool.
Loving you is easy cause you're
LeBron
James.
LeBron whips it in with a left hand.
And everything that I do is out of love.
LeBron James.
Getting old enough now where I've seen athletes start to finish, and now LeBron is arguably the best basketball player of all time, and it'll be this huge 20-year arc when it's done, having accomplished everything.
James puts it on the floor, drags that dribble, one-on-one with Otto Porter Jr., cuts in the lane, and LeBron James with a right-handed power dunk.
A historic figure, and it's cliche or corny or whatever, but it's an honor to watch him play basketball.
Whoa,
it really is.
Yeah,
it is.
Listen to him go.
The handoff to LeBron, going upstairs and thrown down by Anthony Davis on a side screen pick and roll.
Wow.
As the Lakers have battled back from a 19-point deficit and beat the Bulls here at the United Center.
If you look at LeBron, obviously had a terrific game, a triple-double.
It's amazing. Like, if you're a basketball fan and you haven't seen LeBron James, you should make your way out to the United Center if you can.
Falling in love with someone you can never be with.
Loving you is easy cause you're LeBron James.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
Neil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Lots of Chicago agreed with me last night because there was an actual buzz. The United Center was in love with LeBron James last night. Guilty as charged, Tanny.
Year 16, and the dude was absolutely electrifying still. Athletically.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's the fact that he's, you know, his always elite basketball intelligence has reached incredibly epic levels, and he's getting comfortable with Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma, etc. He was amazing to watch last night.
Really was. It's
that sucked. I don't care what anybody says. That was pathetic. Our fans pay a fortune to go out and see this stuff, and right now what they're paying for... You know, it's fun to go out to the games. It's fun to be there. And you know, the fake fans who were at the Bulls game last night, they're rather, oh, I'm here to root for the Lakers. You know what? Go to hell. Get out of here. We don't need you here.
I wish Les would be a little more direct.
I'm saying, put him on in daytime. What a take. Comes out firing.
We just did.
Go to hell. Get out of here. We don't need you here.
Get out of here.
We just put him on in daytime.
That's true.
That's what you do.
We sure did. My God, I wasn't ashamed. That was my first game at the UC this year. Beautiful
new
scoreboard.
Go to hell. Get out of here. We don't need you here.
Les, I'm staying, man.
Yeah.
I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best sports show in town. That might be the best sports show we get in Chicago for the next 6 months.
What, Les's show?
LeBron. The LeBron. Show that is LeBron James.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, my God. That is the saddest thing you just said. The best sports show in town. Well, the Blackhawks are terrible.
Awful.
Just a horrific team to watch.
You're right.
Yeah, they're bad. You know what? The Blackhawks are bad. They're bad to the eye test. They're bad in the scoreboard. They're bad with analytics and metrics. And also, they don't have enough grit or sandpaper. They have nothing. Nothing.
The Hawks?
Yeah. They got netminder problems, Terry told me.
They do. And our Blackhawks thought provider, Jay Zawoski, is calling for the firing of a coach. Coach who's been here for 1 year.
Well, you know I steal all of my Hawks thoughts from Jay Zawoski, so I agree. Fire Colleton.
He said it out loud, and then he wrote it in internet ink. But yeah, so they suck. The Bulls are severely disappointing, having blown that one last night. Oh, yeah, the Bears are 3-5, and they've lost 4 in a row. So you're saying White Sox and Cubs are the best we're going to have?
Yeah. Did you know the White Sox have won a game more recently than the Bears?
Somebody tweeted
that. What a fantastic turn of events if you love the Chicago White Sox. And I'm falling in love by the breath.
Hey, Shep is back. Papa Shep. When did you find time to get a haircut? You're looking good, man.
When I got off the train today. Okay. Literally walked. Said, you know what? I could use that I haven't had in a good month and a half. A haircut. And I went and got one and then came into work.
Congratulations.
Shep on comes the haircut? Out of the
gate. Yeah. Shep comes out of the gate with a positive White Sox thought. I like it. I like new Shep.
Papa Shep. A new perspective on life. Just an appreciation.
I'm like Speaks. I'm the forever optimist over here now. Yeah. Everything's sunshine and daisies.
That's what happens when you have a little short person. He's barely a person right now. How old is he?
She.
Well, it's a she.
Show, yeah, good point.
It's a she.
Peyton could have been a boy's name, but it's a girl's
Peyton
name.
Peyton is fairly innocent. Also, I was thinking of my own child because I'm very selfish. My apologies.
At least you're self-aware, you selfish man. Peyton is just over 5 days old, so turn 6 days old at 5:30 this evening or so.
This is early for you to be out of the house.
It is, but we kind of arranged my leave time on when we had help available. It happened to be that this week, part of this week, help's available.
Smart.
So I'll come into work, and then I'll go back away part of next week when help disappears.
Excellent.
So what's it like? Are you a changed man?
I don't know about the changed man part, but it is just definitely you don't worry about little things that you thought mattered so much. Oh my God, something's not done in the nursery. How are we possibly going to survive if the chair's not there for the nursery by the time the baby gets here?
No, new question. Is the baby alive?
The baby's alive?
That's the new question.
Still not here.
Doesn't matter.
Like, exactly.
Yes.
We had the blowout this morning two times over. Everyone survived. Everything's good.
You had the blowout, like a piece of furniture blew out?
No furniture blew
diaper
out.
Diaper situation.
The diaper blew out, and then by the time the second diaper got on, that one blew out too, and little Peyton's just looking up at me smiling and thinking, ha-ha, Dad, take care of me. Okay, you got me. You win.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
Mazel tov. That's what our people say.
Yeah, I got a couple text messages from some coworkers with that on there, and I was like, can you translate that for me?
Lots of media members reaching out with mazel tov.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But no, and thank you, Danny, for the nice flowers that you and Steph sent over.
No problem.
Mac left food for us as well.
He did?
He did.
When a unique, genuine thought just can't come to you, just say mazel tov, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we sent flowers and a stuffed animal to the hospital, and, texted him mazel tov.
Did you get the black tarry stool in that happens after in the first 2 days?
Yeah, I'd say it was probably, 36 hours or so after birth, somewhere in there.
That's quite something,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's lovely.
It's like the...
I used your Exxon Valdez joke. That's exactly what I did, and the nurses loved it.
Yeah!
I was like, look at all those birds that this little one just killed.
And so I said, it was like the Exxon Valdez disaster, yet more birds died when my baby did that. It's a horrific, scary thing that smells terrible and makes you question humanity in and
it
of
just
itself.
Looks like nothing you've ever seen before.
Doesn't make
you've
any
gone
sense.
Through that. Like, that's not supposed to be that color, yet it is. It is flowing.
I'm glad you were warned. You're welcome for the warning, because when you don't know that's coming, that's like, what's wrong with my child? It's an alien film.
That's pretty much what it felt like for the first 2 days, 3 days or so. It was like, this is a different creature. What is going on? Different species. But somehow my daughter was not born with an arm growing out of her rear end. So I don't know if it's actually mine.
Can't even say ass anymore.
That's right.
Look at him.
She's changed me.
An evolved Shepkowski.
How was sleeping in today, Danny? I got to connect with you about something because you look very lost right now.
Thank you. Yeah. See these questions that I'm asking? I'm like, so it's a human more than it is a spider.
Yes, she only has two legs instead of eight.
Okay, I get it.
For now.
Yeah, well, Steph apparently had to leave for work at 6:30 this morning. I didn't even realize she was gone until like 8:30, 8:45. And then there was orange juice next to me. And I said, oh, when did you leave? She's like, we talked and I've been at work for an hour. I said, oh. I said, good morning.
So does the orange juice, like when it is
it got
left
a little warm.
Out, does it get warm? Is it even good to drink?
It was room temperature orange juice this morning. I'm thinking
what's
about having
room temperature.
It's a good question for Tony. I'm thinking about having Steph install like a mini fridge.
I was gonna
next to the bed.
The nerve of leaving you orange juice that made regress to room temperature. How about a bucket of ice, Steph?
Let's go. I didn't want to complain, but since you guys brought it up,
you poured a little champagne in there.
Or the orange juice was a little substandard.
Texture says, Speaks, I know your father, but no one ever asks if the baby's alive. Come on, man. No, my point is that becomes the new standard.
It's survival mode.
Yes,
it really is.
You're so terrified at like, oh my God, this is now my responsibility.
That car ride home, the drive home, is just, it's unlike anything you ever go through.
They're letting us bring this home?
Yeah. They're like, it was just born 36 hours ago.
Do they know me?
Right. Yeah. I can't even get my closet right. How am I supposed to take care of a kid?
Dude, I'm telling you.
I'm ready to be a father. I had a TV experience just like that. When I brought home a new flat screen Samsung, I was like, they're letting me bring this home?
That's a great comp, Danny.
You're driving home, and it's literally every car that goes by you, you're MFing.
Slow down!
Get out of my way! Don't you know I have a newborn?
Exactly right.
Bleep off!
The first birthday is for you. It has nothing to do with the child. First birthday is like, we did it! Oh my God, give me a cake.
That's going to be a hell of a birthday. First birthday for Peyton, too. Born on Halloween. Halloween next year's on a Saturday.
That's true.
First birthday blowout is going to be something special.
She's going to get wasted.
Probably.
That'll be great. But what are you talking about? The flat screen analogy is perfect. When I was driving home from the electronics store, I'm worried about getting into an accident. You can't have a cracked LCD screen.
Let me ask you a question. What did you feed the flat screen on day three being in your house?
What was the flat screen's, what was the tar-like thing that came out of it?
Yeah, the meconium from the flat screen TV must have been interesting.
As someone who's done both, carried home a TV and a baby, I could say flat screens, a lot more delicate.
Thank you.
Wow.
Lot less resilient.
Yeah. I had to, you get childcare. I had to pay for people to, install and hang and mount, and they want to take care of it greatly you're moving.
If you ever are lucky enough to acquire children, you should mount them as well, just right on the wall. Then you'll know where they are all the time.
Well, that's why we saved.
Some people hang a deer head on the wall. Parkins just has his children on the wall.
We saved Omar's crate from when he was a puppy.
Yeah.
And so I just assume that's where, when you want to go out on a Saturday night, I assume you just leave your kid in the crate with a bowl of water on
the floor. That's a good call. Well, congratulations, Shep, on the birth of your beautiful little show content. That's really...
Yes, that's what it is. It's going to be years and years and years of that is what she'll be known for.
I'm very happy for you and Ashley and having a little show content.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot.
Everything sentimental that I'm supposed to say, that's what
I
just said.
Your wife said it perfectly in the card that was at the hospital.
Perfect. Top of the hour.
So thank you, Steph.
That's exactly right. Top of the hour. It's my better half.
Did you get a Joe's gift card with that? By the way,
it's not his third kid.
Got beautiful flowers.
Top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves.
I have no defense for that.
Join the Chicago Wolves in honoring veterans and active duty military during Military Appreciation Weekend games Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at Allstate Arena. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. This hour brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. More horses, more races, and more action. Which is more embarrassing, the Bulls or the Bears? We decide next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Obviously, you guys are a young team, second youngest team in the league, but this is also the year that we were told that, there's going to be a jump. Are you surprised? There's been three fourth quarter collapses in eight games, so are you surprised that the team's shrinking in the big moments?
You're always disappointed when you don't win. You're always disappointed when you have a lead and you don't hang on to it. I'm not discouraged of who we have or where we're going or what we're doing. I'm not.
That is Jim Boylan, Bulls head coach, last night saying he's not disappointed as they fall to, 2-6 on the year. In a vacuum, if I say, hey, you lost to the Lakers at home by 6, no big deal. When you blow a 17-point lead to the Lakers at home and it felt imminently avoidable, that's when it becomes problematic. Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves Youth Hockey Program is presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how to get your team on the ice to play during intermission of a Wolves games. We are winners. We are the Wolves.
Before we dissect a little more Boylan and some of the other sound around it, what was working so well for the Bulls as you were watching from there that they were able to put up this 19-point lead? Hell, it was an 18-point lead with 5 minutes left in the third against a very, very good team.
Yeah, 17-point lead at halftime. It peaked at 19.
Yeah.
Clearly meant much more to the Bulls mm-hmm. from the opening tip, right? They out-rebounded the Lakers in the first half.
Some manly rebounds from Wendell Carter, among others.
Yeah, they've been getting killed on the glass so far this year. They were deflecting passes. Even if it wasn't coming away with steals, they were being very active on defense. Kobe White got his hand. Zach LaVine got his hand on a couple. So they were just being active. They were hitting their shots. Mm-hmm. They were rebounding.
It's the kind of thing that's supposed to happen, frankly, for a young, hungry, talented team at home against a team like the Lakers on the road. They could perhaps catch them sleeping a little bit, and you pounce.
It was a nice half, and then it fell apart. And then with 8 minutes and 12 seconds left in the fourth quarter, after the Lakers had gone on this crazy run with
16 straight points, mostly with the bench out there.
Yeah, exactly. So Boylan does not call a timeout when he has 4 left, and the Lakers bench outscores the Bulls bench and erases the lead. And then by the time you put the starters back in for the Bulls, they're down 3. But also, oh yeah, by the way, Anthony Davis and LeBron James got to re-enter the game. And Jim Boylan was asked by our very own Cody Westerland, what happened?
If you can do it again, would you bring the starters back a little sooner?
Nope.
Why is that?
Because I'm going to develop this bench. I'm going to develop this team. I got 15 guys to develop, and I'm going to play them in those moments, and they're going to learn how to play winning basketball. I've never yanked guys. I've never done that. You know, I'm not doing that. So we're going to develop that second group, and we're going to have a bench here in Chicago, and I'm going to keep coaching it.
Jim, when they made their run, you were hesitant to call a timeout.
Yep.
It took you about 4 minutes. Why'd you
wait so long? Because we got to figure it out. We got to learn. We got to settle down. And I want to see somebody take control and take over the thing. Okay? That's where we got to grow. So I had 4, I think, and could have used one, and I didn't. So it was on my heart. It was on my mind. So timeout's got nothing to do with the free throw line box out. Timeout's got nothing to do with moving it to the next guy. Doesn't have anything to do with it.
I don't believe him.
The timeout's on his heart, though, Speaks. on his heart.
Saying the timeout is on your heart.
It's on my heart.
Is simultaneously trying to prove your grit, intensity, and passion, which he's been doing since before he got the job.
I love my timeout.
He was doing it behind the scenes, and then he was doing it publicly to us and the players. So he's selling his intensity. And also trying to really convince us that he was actively coaching.
Yeah, well, there's also a...
I don't think he was actively coaching.
There's also a huge fact error in there, which is I don't yank players. Yeah, you do.
Big time yanker.
You did 2 5-man substitutions last season, famously.
That's a group yank, which is dangerous.
right.
For all concerned.
That gets back to the first segment of the show.
That's exactly right. Man, that first segment of the show, talk about a high wire act. We were mounting children for a minute there.
On the wall.
On the wall was important context there.
But he had his kids in a cage? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Call him the Border Patrol.
What am I, president? It's just ridiculous.
Parkins is on fire.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I like when I'm not the brunt of it.
Way to go, Danny.
Me and your wife are very friendly.
It's all good.
I'm able to tell that joke.
We're moving forward.
It's
all good.
But he also said that
he's a group yanker is the point. He's yanked a lot.
And he yanked Wendell Carter and said it was a time for reflection.
Yes.
You know, and so that's just a lie. But then what was interesting is, does his team understand what he's doing? Let's start with Zach LaVine, who it didn't seem like he did.
You want to jump in the game, you know, but, you know, you got to wait. You know, there's substitution patterns. You know, that's not my job. So, you know, we got to go in the game. We do. We got to do our job. And, you know, we got to try to stop the bleed and get the lead back. You know, we didn't do that. You know, I always chirp on the bench. I'm that type of guy, you know. But, you know, that's – we'll go back and watch it. It's up to him. You know, we had a good game plan. We're playing the game well. But, you know, we just got to do a better job in the fourth quarter of winning the game and sitting the game off.
So that is Zach LaVine saying that he was chirping to come back into the game, but that there are substitution patterns that are not his job to make.
That's what I had a little trouble picking up audio-wise in the first cut, is that those are substitution patterns that are not my job to make.
Correct.
You know what that reminded me of? Remember when Rick Renteria was asked about pitching Odrysimer Despaigne, and he said, well, as long as I have him, I'm going to keep putting him out there, which was a clear message to management. Then they went ahead and cut him. When Zach is saying, that's not my job, he's letting you know pretty clearly, I wouldn't have done that.
Correct. And then this is a little inside media, but let's just say that there were clear signs of displeasure among players talking to reporters after the microphones were turned off. Let's just say that. I'm there. I'm not a Bulls beat reporter. I'm just observing, shaking hands, being seen, all that sort of thing. But they were not pleased at all. I believe we have Thaddeus Young voicing the amount of displeasure that should be evident.
Just finished games. You know, I came in and I talked to the guys. I told them, I said, at some point it got to hurt. Like, we got to stop the bleeding at some point. Like, it got to hurt. And when it starts to hurt too bad, then that's when we're going to win games. You know, we're going through a tough stretch where, you know, we're not finishing games. We're putting ourselves in position to win games, but we're just not finishing them. So, you know, biggest thing is just keep going back to the drawing board, and at some point it has to click. Like, you know, we're a talented team. You know, we've proven that time and time again this season so far, with being up on teams 8 points, 10 points, 16 points, even 20, like tonight, and, you know, just giving games away.
How about Thaddeus?
And he is the voted captain in the room, the elder statesman, handpicked by Jim Boylan for his professionalism, that he shows up every night, all 82 games. He'll be there for you, saying we gotta be pissed, we gotta be angry.
Okay.
And Wendell Carter, who is going to be the captain of this team sooner than later, was very angry postgame.
As a competitor, hurts. You know, I had them down by a lot of points, and to come in here and lose a game, I mean, we can blame it on anybody. But I honestly, it's just us as a team. We got a team down. We got to be smarter. Got to get stops, rebound the ball, and, you know, just finish out the game. I mean, it's no other way to really say it. It's kind of tough to, you know, to say that about anybody in the locker room. I know I'm pissed. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, coming from, not to talk about my past, but me coming from a winning culture and then coming here, and, you know, last year wasn't so good for us. And then this year, it kind of bothers me. You know, I don't care about my stats. I don't care about anything, because at the end of the day, none of that matters if we're not winning. So, no, it's just something we just got, everybody got to look in the mirror and say, yo, I'm bought into this team. And whether I play good or I don't play good, as long as we win, that's all that matters. And if everybody can say that in the room, we're going to be successful.
There's lots of things there that are said, and then there's lots of things that are unsaid, because they don't know if everyone is as pissed as they should be, and they're already publicly doubting whether or not their coach is doing the right thing with rotations.
Well, their coach was publicly doubting them the day before, wasn't he?
Yep. I'm just saying, it's getting ugly quick.
It's getting ugly quick, and we've also, as Peoria Matt points out via text, reached the "that's not my job" point of the post-game commentary.
That's, yeah, eight games in
to have your star player.
It's going to get bad, man.
Saying that's not my job. And as you pointed out in transition, he's got 3 more years on his deal.
Yeah, it's going
to
get bad.
There was a while there where I observed Jim Boylan. I listened to things he said. I watched him coach. I heard him talked to a couple people who were closer to the team than I. And I came away with the thought that Jim Boylan was a boob, that he was just, you know, a boob. And then over the offseason and in the preseason for this, I gained a little perspective or so. I thought that Jim was a little smarter than perhaps we had been allowed to believe, that he was kind of playing an anti-Fred Hoiberg role by choice for a while last year. And I upgraded him from that status. And I feel like he's regressed back to boobness. Back to boobness. And the poster child for a boob is not anything physical. It's Terry Bevington. That's what you look that up in terms of a manager or coach in the history of Chicago. And Terry Bevington is who qualifies. And that's where Boylan really approaches, frankly.
Will Perdue has been speaking a lot of truths with Kendall Gill and Jason Goff at NBC Sports Chicago. And I want to know if Jim Boylan is lying last night, or if he was lying at media day when talking about playoff expectations, because what he did last night doesn't align with a team that expects to go to the playoffs. So we were lied to either last night or at media day. I want to know which one Will Perdue thinks it is. He joins us next on The Score.
With 1:29 to go in the third, it was 88-76. As the Lakers came out of the timeout, the head coach Vogel was laughing. LeBron was laughing. I'm not sure what was going on in that huddle, but they were laughing down 12. They pretty much had signed this game off. Slid the check over the side of the table and said, hey, we're staying tonight. I got dinner reservations. If you guys are going to let us hang around, then we're going to go ahead and steal this game from you. We're going to take it from you. It's like basically giving the dog a bone, and as he opens his mouth, oop, sorry.
They're bringing the heat on NBC Sports Chicago. That's Will Perdue. He's about to join us here in a segment. In a second? This segment brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
In a segment is not incorrect. We're going to be in a radio segment with Will Perdue.
Right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Will, great stuff on the show last night. It was really good to see you, and thank you for the time. Where I struggle with what Jim Boylan said last night when he was talking about not putting his starters back in because it's about developing the whole team is, I was told before the year that the goal is the playoffs. And so if the goal is the playoffs, the priority is to win and not develop, not to mention the fact that these starters still need to be developing. So the question is, were they lying when they said it was a playoff season, or were they lying last night when they were explaining it about development?
I'd love to have the answer to that as well, because, listen, on one hand, I'll say I understand that you're working on developing these guys, but in my opinion, there's a time and a place for everything. When you're playing the Los Angeles Lakers and you've outplayed them for three quarters and you have a golden opportunity to win a game that at the beginning of the year, you looked at the schedule and said, most likely, if LeBron's healthy, AD's healthy, you're not going to win this game. And considering everything that's happened up to the Lakers game, the Cleveland loss, the New York loss, the Knicks loss, this could make up for a lot of bad blood that's happened in the previous games, games that they should have won. So I feel like, in my opinion, if you're the coach or in any situation, you want and have to and need to win that game. And if that means you have to put your starters back in, then I would think that that's what you should do and what you need to do.
You know, Will, I understand everything that you just said, and I agree. And I think that Jim Boylan understands too. I didn't buy it last night. What he was trying to sell in the postgame, frankly, I didn't buy, because, you know, it sounded like a guy trying to convince you that that's what he was doing. Is it possible that he decided to say he was in the business of developing when actuality he just kind of drifted a little bit? He watched instead of coached, or he took a chance and it didn't work? And it wouldn't be so bad to admit that he took a chance and it didn't work if that was the case.
Well, in this day and age of transparency, if he got caught up in the game, which coaches quite honestly do all the time.
Right.
I mean, because of the situation, they get caught up in the game and they forget who's on the bench. So this isn't just a Boylan thing. This happens to every, even experienced. Greg Popovich does it. Phil Jackson used to do it. But that's also then the responsibility of the assistants to step up and be like, hey, you know, we got Zach's over here, Lowry's over here, Wendell's over here. You know, even though I forget who was in the game late, because I know eventually as he slowly started to put the starters back in, first it was Zach and Wendell at the same time, then it was Sato, then it was Otto. But, you know, it's and at the end of the day, it's not just a Boylan problem. We can't just point the finger at him and say it's totally his fault. He has to, in times like that, also lean on his assistants. And so I think it was a failure at all levels, quite honestly.
Will, is this the type of thing that could lead to the players losing trust in their head coach?
I mean, as a former player, the answer to that question is yes. Now, let me be very specific here and say that I don't think that has happened yet. But the problem leading into this game, and I think you may have tweeted it out. Cody Westland may have tweeted it out. Gil may have tweeted it out. Considering how you've lost your games, again, Cleveland, New York, Charlotte, this seems to be a recurring pattern. And that's what is so concerning to me, as well as everybody else, is this continues to happen. And when these things continue to happen, it's, you start to lose. And I don't know if it's necessarily so much you lose confidence in the coach, but you lose confidence in the system. And you lose confidence on what's happening on the floor. Because, you know, the interesting thing is things were going really well for three quarters. The offense was running well. The rotations for the defense was good. Guys were rebounding. You know, that's been a huge problem as well. So it's one of those things, though, it all starts to add up. And it's just kind of like the old snowball effect. It starts out as a pebble, and then it starts rolling downhill. And as it gains momentum, it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then eventually you ask yourself, where does it stop?
We're talking to Will Perdue, Bulls analyst for NBC Sports Chicago, because the thing that I found myself asking when I was driving home from the game was that a one-game mistake by Jim Boylan, or did John Paxson agree with his strategy? Like, is this an organizational philosophy of developing the full 15-man roster, or did Boylan just make a mistake in the game that Pax will correct before tonight in Atlanta?
Well, I would think that, as you pointed out, because they've talked about the goal is to make the playoffs. Winning is the most important thing. And you had a golden opportunity to win the game.
So you think Pax was disappointed with how Boylan handled that last night?
Well, I would actually love to hear what Pax had to say.
So would I.
And I have not heard anything, nor have I seen anything, so I can't necessarily put words in his mouth. But let me put it this way. From the John Paxson that I used to sit next to at the United Center, the old stadium, and watch how angry he was when we lost games as a player,
mm-hmm.
I would say that he was not happy with the end result.
See,
that's just me saying that from knowing John Paxson, the player who actually taught me the game at this level.
It has to have been very uncomfortable for John for the last 2 years to admit and dance around linguistically that they're not prioritizing winning on the big, you know, on the big level here. That they're going ahead and trying to take their chances with the lottery. Then this year is your opportunity to actually go for it, as opposed to, I think, what Danny's driving at, still being in that mode of potentially getting a very good draft pick, but not saying it. I can't.
Yeah, because last night's not a problem if they're developing and playing
absolutely
for the draft.
If that's last year and you're telling me that you're there to develop, okay, I get it 100%. But they successfully sold all of us that they're trying to win. And I think people want that now, Will.
Well, absolutely. I want to see them win. So, you know, Kendall wants to see them win. I mean, that's when, you know, they got the Atlanta Hawks tonight. When I walk into the studio tonight, you know, we're going to talk about in pregame how they go about winning this game. And we fully expect them to do anything and everything within their power to win the game. But you're right. And I'll give Paxson credit, because he was very honest. They make the Butler trade. They talked last year about we're not going to measure the season on wins and losses. So you know at the beginning of the year it's going to be a tough year. It's going to be difficult for the fans. But they also talk about development. And yeah, they had a great February, but we also saw the roller coaster ride of up and down, you know, little success. Then it looks like they took some steps backwards. I know it was very rough last year, but that's what the off season, that's what training camp, that's what those things were for, to solve and to be ready to go this year. And as they said, we're sitting there all at you know, media day, what, the last Monday in September, and they said, our goal is to make the playoffs. Now, I know there's a lot of what-ifs out there. You know, well, you know, Orlando Magic started out 2-7, and they made the playoffs. And so-and-so started out 0-6 this year, and they made the playoffs. But I also sit here and I say, okay, so if I jump off a cliff, are you going to follow me? If so, you can't necessarily make that comparison about other teams, because I don't want to make comparisons to other teams. I want this to be about the Bulls and what the Bulls are doing to be successful, to win games and push this organization and this team in the right direction.
Right. You're saying don't argue the exception, argue the rule.
Correct. And I still say this. The Chicago Bulls, the Miami Heat, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, I think our organizations, because of the fact they've won multiple championships, are held to higher standards than the Milwaukee Bucks, the Washington Wizards. The Knicks used to be in that group, but their owner is just, whoa. So, you know, and let me put the Boston Celtics in that group. Because of the history, because of the multiple banners, they're held to different standards, higher standards. Former players hold the organization to those standards, and I would like to believe that John Paxson does too, because he's been part of that.
Will, great stuff. We'll be watching on NBC Sports Chicago. Thank you.
All right, man. I knew it was a special game when I had a tap on the shoulder and I turned around and I saw that Danny was there.
Yeah. LeBron's in the house. I'm in the house. What more do you really need?
You were
need?
There to watch the Bulls, not LeBron. Come on.
Thank you, Will.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, big game. Big game to get me out there. Appreciate Will Perdue. Always
well,
kind.
It was also handy that you were doing a radio show on the concourse.
All things for all people, Speaks. Let's see here. You told me that some of these moves that seem incidental or irrelevant around the Cubs actually have some meaning, and you can tie them together. I want you to explain coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.